Animal Talk coming to you live. It is July 1, 2021. July 1, the 100-year anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. What a wonderful thing. Oh, we've got to forget 4th of July, Independence Day, because, ladies and gentlemen, we are no longer independent. The Chinese Communist Party, Red China, owns most of our debt. And every time Joe Beijing, $12 a gallon man, Red China Joe, with Commissar Kamala, every time they talk about another $6 trillion or $4 trillion or $5 trillion, well, guess who they borrow it from? And when we say borrow it from, basically, the Red Chinese just print up enough stuff or sell off old debt and buy some of the new at the higher rate. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this thing is about put a fork in and it's done. But there's power in the blood of Jesus. But he tells you what's going to happen. He tells you what's going to happen. I've read it to you many times, but I'm going to read this here tonight real quick and tie it to the Chinese, but I'm going to go back and forth here on another item too. Ezekiel 38. This is the Gog Magog, right? And I'm just going to go up to the thing. Verse 10 on this. They've already talked about Son of Man set their face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Okay. And that's the one where they're talking about all of them are going to go, is going to put hooks in the jaws and bring them in against Israel. But here's verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time, you see how this is different than the first part of Ezekiel 38, at the same time, shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, you see, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. But you see, the United States is the great melting pot, and the desolate places that are now inhabited, that could be the west and the mountainous west, the great plains into the mountains, could it not? And are now inhabited upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. I'll tell you, Kansas, Colorado, you know, a lot of Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Wyoming, a lot of cattle, a whole lot of cattle, okay? And that is in the desolate, formerly desolate places. So you see, I think, as Brother Quinn and I've talked for years, this is talking about America. Sheba and Dedan and the merchant of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to make a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord Gog, in that day, when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty armor. See, ladies and gentlemen, there's stuff getting ready to happen. that's just not going to be in the Middle East. And when they use the term Israel, it could be describing something else. You see what I'm saying? It could be figuratively, not literally. All right. But I think the land of the unwalled villages is right here, and I've said this for 17 years. So what I'm trying to say is this, is that we, I believe, are about ready to get sneak attacked. I've been telling you this. The Lord has had it on my mind to warn the remnant about this for some time. Although my first charge, my first thing that I'm supposed to do is to strike blows against the enemies of Lord Jesus. But the second thing is to warn the remnant of what is to come and how to prepare. Now, let me just read something to you here. This is out of the Fourth Turning, An American Prophecy, the Fourth Turning, What the Cycles of History Tell Us About America's Next Rendezvous with Destiny. Now, if you've never read this book or you don't have this book, you should get it, because it would give great understanding to you, to your family. You could talk to them about it. Be interesting at supper time to talk to him about it. Perhaps you could have somebody else read it. One of your children. Your spouse. But William Strauss and Neil Howe. Strauss and Howe, the Fourth Turning. Now, the Fourth Turning, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 turnings. There are different cycles, if you will, of history. That is quite interesting. The Fourth Turning is history's discontinuity. It ends one epoch and begins another. History is seasonal and winter is coming. Like nature's winter, the secular winter can come early or late. A Fourth Turning can be long and difficult, brief but severe, or perhaps mild. But, like winter, it cannot be averted. It must come in its turn. Here, in summary, is what the rhythms of modern history warn about America's future. Now, this is what they're predicting. Now, this, they wrote this book about 1997. The next Fourth Turning is to begin shortly after the new millennium, midway through the OO decade. Around the year 2005, a sudden spark will catalyze a crisis mode. Well, that's about the time of Obama in that area, is it not? Remnants of the old social order will disintegrate. Political and economic trust will implode. Real hardship will beset the land with severe distress. That could involve questions of class, race, nation, and empire. Yet this time of trouble will bring seeds of social rebirth. Americans will share a regret about recent mistakes and a resolute new consensus about what to do. The very survival of the nation will feel at stake. Sometime, now listen up here, sometime before the year 2025, America will pass through a great gate in history commensurate with, listen for a second, America will pass through a great gate in history commensurate with the American Revolution, the Civil War, and twin emergencies of the Great Depression and World War II. The risk of catastrophe will be very high. The nation could erupt in insurrection or civil violence, crack up geographically, or succumb to authoritarian rule. If there is a war, it is likely to be one of maximum risk and effort. In other words, a total war. Every Fourth Turning has registered an upward ratchet in the technology of destruction and in mankind's willingness to use it. And that's a key, the willingness to use it. In the Civil War, the two capital cities would surely have incinerated each other had the means been at hand. In World War II, America invented a new technology of annihilation, which the nation swiftly put to use. This time, America will enter a Fourth Turning with the means to inflict unimaginable horrors and perhaps will confront adversaries who possess the same. Yet Americans will also enter the fourth turning with a unique opportunity to achieve a greatness as a people. Many despair that values that were new in the 60s are today so entwined with social dysfunction and cultural decay, they can no longer lead anywhere positive. Through the current unraveling era, that is probably true, but in the crucible of the crisis that will change, as the old civic order gives way, Americans will have to craft a new one. This will require a values consensus to administer it and the empowerment of a strong new political regime. If all goes well, there could be a renaissance of civic trust and more. Today's third turning problems, the Rubik's Cube of crime, race, money, family, culture, and ethics, will snap into a fourth turning solution. America's post-crisis answers will be as organically interconnected as today's pre-crisis questions, even hopelessly tangled. By the 2020s, America could become a society that is good by today's standard, but also one that works. It has not happened yet. Thus, might the next fourth turning end in apocalypse or glory? The nation could be ruined, its democracy destroyed, and millions of people scattered or killed. Or America could enter a new golden age, triumphantly applying shared values to improve the human condition. The rhythms of history do not reveal the outcome of the coming crisis. All they suggest is that timing and dimension. So, now, that's very interesting, and it does tell you that. But let's look at what we are talking about. What Jesus tells us, and we'll add that to the mix, right? Add it to the mix. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, and count into that like the Taal volcano and all of the quakes, the ones in Cuba, the one up north in Baltimore, the ones all over in the Salton Sea and all of that area, the ones going up and down the West Coast. All of these things are starting to happen. The drought is so bad. If you look at the drought map, the current drought map, it's just incredible. It's the entire western and southwestern United States. And then also parts of other select places. You see even in parts of Ohio, where they've shut off the rain and stuff up there by Wright-Patterson, you're seeing it's real dry up in there. And there's select dry areas in a lot of places. But they seem to have left Kansas, Missouri, parts of Nebraska, parts of Iowa, and, you know, Arkansas and different places like that seem to have been left, and parts of Oklahoma and also East Texas, that where you could grow wheat. So there's somebody up there thinking. But I'm going to tell you this. Lord Jesus tells you what he's talking about. And he's talked to you about all these things. Earthquakes, diverse places, the famines, pestilences. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning of sorrows. You see, And let's go up to verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So the Lord Jesus would like for you to endure to the end and be saved. So you have to figure out how you can endure, E-N-D-U-R-E, till the end. Well, that's going to take water, water purification, water storage. It's because you can't get by with about a day or so without water, you know, a few days. And then you got to have food. And you can go without food for a little longer, but I'm going to tell you what, it's better if you don't have to. And you know, when I tell you, if you can do nothing else to get an extra can of chunky soup or Progresso soup, I do not beg the question that people are not out there who have the wherewithal to buy Mountain House or Wise or Patriot, you know, for Patriots or whatever it might be, whatever brand it is, a freeze-dried or dehydrated foods or what have you. But you can also understand that I'm talking to a lot of different people at different levels of ability for preparedness. So if I go to the basic bottom line, and I've had, I remember back in about 2000, I think it was probably 2006, I had a college student from Wichita, Kansas area saying, you know, Hawk, I've been buying that extra can or two of chunky soup when I go to the grocery. Cost me another $3 or $4 back in those days or whatever it was, $5 today maybe. And he said, I've been putting them underneath my bed in my apartment. You know, I'm putting them in the closet or putting them in a case and stacking them up underneath there. And he says, you know, Hawk, I've got 6 months worth of food for myself. He says, it adds up. So I've been talking to you about that for years, and you can still do that. You can still go and get big bags of rice or boxes of rice if you don't have room for the big bags. Just get a bunch of the minute rice, okay? Or go and get the big, you know, 50-pound sacks or 20-pound, whatever they are, of the rice. I like the white rice. I like other rice better, but the white rice keeps longer. If you have the ability to get yourself the food-grade buckets and put that rice in there, put in there an oxygen absorber or dry ice and then seal it, you see, then all more the better. But it can be stored on pallets, and, you know, you might have a little something in it, but I'll tell you what. You put that in the gumbo pot there, and you got you something that's going to cook the rice, and then you come out and you got a little something else in there, you put your good roux, get you all your spices and all your stuff, you know. And you just keep a stirring it. And next thing you know, you got a raccoon or a possum or a squirrel or a little piece of a cow or whatever you got. And you got you a gumbo. All right? So anyway, I'm just being a little bit redundant in some ways. But the fact is, I don't always talk about the person who is super capable or the person, but I have a lot that listen to me that are. I got people that can hit stuff from, you know, with a rifle out at 1,800, you know, 2,000 yards. You know what I'm saying? Bang and bingo, you know? I know several people who can do that. There's iron sights guys in western Kansas that you just hope that you got the right camouflage on because they're sitting in the sagebrush somewhere, you know? And there's a whole lot of people like that. And you go up there where old Big Mac lives and people like that, or where Mickey Lapua is, you know? And it's pretty interesting stuff. Or one, I'll tell you, somebody who's a real good shot is Liz Evenson, Greg Evenson's wife. Greg always said, well, she's the best shot in the house, you know. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have a scenario where Jesus is telling us that he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And then he goes on down, verse 21, he says, but pray ye that your, or verse 20, but pray ye that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Remember, I referenced the winter in the board turning. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to come into a ring-dang-doodle. And I'll tell you what, the wild weasel is a-walking. He's a-dancing and fired up, just like one of them whirligig firecrackers on the 4th of July. So, you know, this port turning is an interesting thing. That's somebody telling you. Some really smart guys wrote all this. And if you don't have this book helped me to understand a lot of different things. There are also cyclical financial scenarios that trace along with these turnings and different things too. And we're about to experience all of that, like on the really bad way, if you know what I mean. Really the bad way, if you know what I mean. And that in itself is something that cannot be, you know, not be overlooked. And then you've got all this horse hockey where they go in and they arrest Cyrus Vance Jr. or sycophant, you know, Luciferian scumbag, you know. Innerbred, sycophant, Luciferian scumbag, going after Trump's company. And so he goes to Weisselberg and he arrests him. I guess he puts him in cuffs for stuff that nobody has ever been indicted or arrested for in New York in the past, ever. If they want to start looking at people, they ought to go over there to Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan or, you know, Chase or Citi or whatever one they want to do. Or maybe they should go over to, like, Blackstone, allegedly. Blackstone has just bought a group that owns 170,000 mortgages in the United States. Basically, they're buying the homes, okay? Because you're going to see a factor where there may only be three or four landlords in the entire country. And don't think that your home, even though you might even own it, but if you can't hump the taxes, which are going to probably go up, you see, and if you lived in San Jose, California, they're going to make you take out extra liability insurance if you have a firearm, even though it is your right to keep and bear arms. Second Amendment. But they're going to tax you. You got to register and tax your firearm annually, plus have insurance. Well, you want to know what? Pay it one installment at a time, perhaps, is what I would say. But don't do it. Refuse to do it. That might be the line in the sand in that spot. But if you can move out, then move out where somewhere it's not not in that kind of a vein. But see, the Red Chinese, their 100-year deal, right? Pretty big deal. Well, old Xi man is, you know, has just said, old Xi has said that he's going to no longer take it, and that he's going to bash any bully's face that comes after him. He's going to bash any bully's face, you see. And then you also have Putin basically saying, hey, you know, I don't think if we sunk a British ship, that'd really bring on World War III. They're no longer going to fool around. Russia decrees that their military can block the Kerch Strait. Kremlin's website, Russian President Vladimir Putin. And I'm getting it off this off of Hal Turner's page, apparently. Somebody sent it to me. That Vladimir Putin has allowed the Russian military to block the territories and waters around protected facilities to stop attempts of illegal infiltration, i.e. the Kerch Strait. Note to the document says the Russian National Guard protects the waters of the Kerch Strait, the bridge over it, and the water area around the Russian power grid link with Crimea. In addition, according to Putin, the military can cordon these areas during the attempts of illegal crossing infiltration into surrounding water and attempts to leave it. So they're ready to basically go toe-to-toe with whatever comes down through the pipe. Now, since I haven't been on since last week, remember it was 6/28, there were talk about there was going to be a flotilla of all kind of NATO ships were going to go right at that Kerch Strait into Crimean era in Ukraine and declare it as Ukrainian waters and all of that stuff. And then, you know, after the aftermath of the HMS, what, Britannia, I believe it was, whatever it was, that the Russians fired shots across the bow and dropped a few things out of planes to hasten it from the area. Then there was the Dutch ship, you see. The Dutch ship then had mysterious readjustments of its electronics and things. In other words, the MiG went over, the Dutch ship did what it did to the USS Donald Cook when it knocked out the, you know, the Arleigh Burke class Aegis, Super Aegis targeting system and all the engines and all the radars and all the stuff, and just left the exit lights on and the, you know, emergency power. Dead duck in the water. USS Donald Cook. We've talked about that for years. Sometimes people, you know, I've been on for 17 years. And so it's an accumulative understanding. A lot of people have had that cumulative. But I can't go back and repeat myself on everything, but I try to update it and bring it back forth to your memory so you can look at it. So the Russians and the Chinese are basically saying, that's it. We're ready to go. And they are in a group. They're together along with, underneath them, but a little bit close to their level, the Iranians, the Red Chinese, or excuse me, the North Koreans, and a few others. So the fact is that if we go with the NATO people, everybody was saying that'll be 6/28. Well, guess what happened last Saturday morning? I got from my deep background SIG intelligence people, got the information saying, oh, guess what? U.S. Navy's command or communications capabilities in the United States and all the bases and stuff were knocked out. The Navy's capabilities of communication were knocked out Saturday morning. And then that would extend by way of relay ability to communicate with ships and bases in other countries and that kind of thing. Atolls in the Pacific or wherever it is you're talking about. And while Admiral Gilday is playing the high hard ball with the pink jockstrap cloud. Okay? You heard me. And jiggling his booty to the commie tattoo. All right? Chief of Naval Operations, who Gilday is, by the way. But while that's going on, the thing comes up and says, well, we really don't know how it was done or who did it. Well, I can tell you who did it. It's the Russians who have new electromagnetic capabilities. It's also the Red Chinese who have shared same. It's also the Iranians who summon the new electromagnetic capabilities. The warfare was started out in some research they had that the Russians went in on a joint venture and financed and took it over and perfected it. They're able to knock our planes out of the sky, turn off the Donald Cook, change around some other Arleigh Burke class destroyers so they get hit by cargo ships and stuff like that. Or maybe it's at Navarre Beach, which I told you about a number of years ago. At Navarre Beach, when you had the two Apaches or Blackhawks, and they were coming from Eglin and going over Navarre Beach, and then a green electronic fog just enveloped them. And they started to fail, and the engines started to go out, and all of the avionics and everything going kablooey, the radios and stuff kablooey. All the targeting things, all the weapons, nothing working right. And then one guy, one of the ships was able to power out of it and get away. The other one went down into the salty water there up Navarre Beach. I've talked to you about all of the aircraft that have been down, and I think they're being done by electromagnetic means, knocking out their stuff. You go back even farther, I don't know if it was, let's see if it was at Bush's day or one of those, there was a Marine Corps, Marine One, had some problems going to Camp David once upon a time. You could say that Marine One had mechanical troubles that involved like an electronic knockout or electromagnetic knockout of their avionics or something and had an emergency land. But that's been years and years ago. But this stuff is real. Satellite directed generation of scalar frequencies to impact the neurophysiological template. That's the other part of it. They can direct that at an individual or an area or a neighborhood or a town or maybe a state. The beam can narrow or broaden. And you know what? You go back and look at the patent of the HARP, the High Altitude Aurora Research Project. And I know Dr. Nick Begich. I've talked to him for hours on different times over the years, back in the 90s, at various big events and programs and that kind of stuff. The American Constitution Association used to have big speakers deals where they had multiple platforms and a 1 or 2 day deal and all that kind of stuff. You can go out and hear a lot of people. So I used to sit and talk to Nick Begich several occasions. Nick wrote, angels don't play this harp. He also then went and gave testimony to the European Parliament and gave them all kind of more in-depth information. But if you look up the patent of the harp originally, it talks about many things. Ability to heat the ionospheric heater, or to shoot a bolt of energy up, a frequency, and then bounce it off like a billiard ball, and then hit across somewhere across the earth, the globe, on the bank shot, and create an earthquake, do a tectonic bong, boom, okay? Thump the tectonics, or just do that and just pulse it. And then as you pulse things, you don't need sometimes the power. If you got power, you use it. But if you don't, it's the frequency. It's the frequency and the harmonics and all the stuff that causes the atoms or the molecules to start jiggling or to create vibrations. Nikola Tesla did this back in New York when he almost shook the entire building down he was in at one point. Just on a demonstration, to somebody who said they didn't know if he could do any of that stuff or not. And he just turned on a little switch and boop, 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 whatever the frequency was and did it. So what I think you're going to see is Russia, and also probably Red China in some aspects, because they're already here, that they've come up to the land of the unwalled nations to take a prey, to take a spoil. The Spetsnaz has been here for quite some time and was brought into that Fort Garst, Colorado. Brought into a lot of different places. Fort Hood. I've seen Spetsnaz over our Russians, in a sense, up at Junction City. I've seen them over there in Knobnoster, near where the B-2 boys are at and all of that. And they even decommissioned one of the silos over in that area in Missouri. It was the last missile silo in Missouri. Even participated with one of their exaggerated peak caps one time. So they're already here. They've been brought in. Obama hired Spetsnaz to deal with what he thought during his term he was going to see, the martial law. Recall how he wrote the deal, remember? New executive order. Creating a structure of military governors for martial law. January 12, 2010 was an article that I put up in Steve Quayle's site. Steve put it up there. We used to call him a hawk talent. Domestic insurgency, declaration of martial law. George W. Bush, that was October 2008. They thought they were going to take it all over then. We've delayed them. We've delayed the New World Order, and one of the reasons why is because you're getting prepared and you're standing tall. You're standing, and I hope you're standing with the Lord Jesus. And if you're not, and you think that you can't, that there's no hope for you, all you got the hope is to just tough it through, and the Lord couldn't want you to do anything, and you've been too bad or you've been too evil. Sometimes with, you know, hot water or newspapers or Windex or whatever you're going to use, because the windows are dirty, you see. The filters that allow the goodness of the Lord to come in to touch you, to start to wash you clean. You got to do it a stage and a little bit at a time. But if you stay with the Lord Jesus and you're sincere and he's with you and you're with him,
well, ladies and gentlemen, you start talking about Lord Jesus, and then all of a sudden, they don't like that. When they start to talk to you about how you can repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior, and he'll start to clean you up. They do not like that. Now, isn't that something? Now, I mean, you can talk about the New World Order, this, that, all the stuff, one after the other, and you can say this and that and the other. But they don't knock you off the air. But Brother Quayle, and I have been knocked off the air about as many times as I ever recall, okay? And it's just quite interesting that if you combine what we're talking about, the prophetic stuff, the current events, the urging you to stand up for your rights and to protect your home, your family, and that kind of stuff, but if you combine that with the power of the blood of Jesus, then the devil does not like that. And that is the greatest evidence that Lucifer is real. His minions are controlling through the fallen angels that are around him, that are here on this planet, some more to come, and that they and their minions, the alien pine scum that are around, and then also the top slots of the United States intelligence agencies, the U.S. military, the various branches, the White House, the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, the EIOs, the DIA, all of them, and the judicial, heck, the judicial is just basically bought and paid for anymore. I mean, it's just crazy. You get who you think is going to be real good people, and they turn out to be basically the same old, progressives in sheep's clothing, you know. But what I'm trying to say is this, is that when you combine the salvation that the Lord Jesus can give you and to urge you to do that while at the same time that you stand up for your country, for your family, your Bill of Rights, then they do not like that at all, because that is the answer, you see. The real first step of preparedness is to get right with Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven, who gave his only begotten Son to come on down here to do this. And then he had to go through all of the stuff and experience it. And then they put him on the cross, then he rose from the dead. Incredible. All right, incredible. And that's who we're telling you to get right with Lord Jesus. Because there is power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, man, oh, man. And you know our brother James that we prayed for? Brother James is now getting 93% oxygen absorption. And he's no longer in the hospital. He's at home. He wants to cut the grass and work and do all kinds of stuff, all right? Just incredible. Then we got a certain Washington State person, Mac's wife, who had some problems, all right? But by golly, we prayed for her, and I hope she's doing much better. Let me know on that. And then we got the old buddy, my old buddy up on Mars Hill. I think the old devil knocked him off the porch and rolled him down the old mountaintop there, but he straggled up with the legs not working, and he pulled himself up the hill and got attention and got that and took care of his business, and I hope that he's down in the recovery phase and they're going to do the repair on the one leg and all of that. The quadricep got torn out. Lord Jesus, will you go to him right now? Will you go to him right now, Lord Jesus? And will you go to him and will you provide him a medical miracle? Oh, Mars Hill gang leader, provide a medical miracle. Will you go out there to Big Mac's wife? Will you go to Big Mac's wife and will you provide her medical miracle, Lord Jesus? And for everybody in the West, in the drought areas, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that Lord Jesus, will you go to the drought areas? Will you turn off these weather weapons that are being used against it? Where when it's 121 degrees in British Columbia and fires break out, or whether it is 111 or 107 in Seattle or in Portland, and at the same time, in Kansas City, where it normally would be 100 and with about 80% humidity, we've had 8 days of rain and the temperature yesterday was 77 degrees. So it's like we had the weather that used to be on the East Coast, the Northwest, the weather here in the center. But that ain't all that good either necessarily, because 8 days of rain, you start at the time where you're heading into the July harvest of the winter wheat, okay? And I've dealt with this before. The people who are in the in D.C. or in the military or whatever, running the harvest and stuff, they think, oh, everybody in the Midwest runs corn and soybeans. You know, well, they do. In parts of Nebraska, Iowa, a little bit of Missouri, not much in Kansas. Kansas is more wheat, although you'll see all the crops in different spots. But Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and the corn and the soybeans are there, all right? Particularly Iowa, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois. Indiana, you're going to have in Ohio with that group, you'll have as much corn as you want, all right, as much beans as you want. But the fact of the matter is, if they get it all too wet here, thinking that's it, but it's the wheat crop that can be damaged as you go in towards the harvest by being too wet. Same kind of thing. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, they knocked me off my computer, and I can't reach the page anymore. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Can't even get into the thing. I'm just off the Skype, off the whole dadgum thing. You know what I mean? Just really amazing. Kind of amazing, isn't it? Yes. Well, anyway, I can't get onto that, but let me see if I can get onto this, okay? No. Still not connected. It won't let me connect at all. Won't let me connect at all. Well, that's great. So that just goes to show you how Tucker Carlson is talking about the NSA, and I've talked about it for years, the necrophiliac Shiite arseholes. And then that brings me up to what I was going to say earlier, and I was going to tie it in, so now's a good time to tie it in. I heard deep background information via the deep background sources who talked not long ago to some people of the CIA, okay? And they used to be up, and they're out of it now. You're never completely out, but if you're just not working for a living in it, you can have a bit more of an opinion about it. So the fact of the matter is that they said that inside of the intelligence services, CIA, FBI, you know, CIA, DIA, NSA, ONI, FOSI, Army Intel, Marine Intel, you see, that there is a tremendous, not just one or two here and there, but this information says that there are literally dozens upon dozens of red Chinese moles. Not all of Asian descent. Some, under diversity, you have to have Asians, right? And Asians are smart, and they work in the computers, too. And some of them are really bad to the bone. But what I'm trying to say is this. It's not just one or two here and there. There are dozens in each one of the services, dozen services. There are dozens in the Congress, in the Justice Department, all of these different things. And they are dead on. And we've already seen with the red Chinese capability and the hacking and all the stuff. Remember what they did. They've already stolen all of the intelligence operations records and files on personnel, all of the military records, every secret mission, everything, every fitness report, every health report, everything about you. They've got everything on the military and the intelligence. They've taken everybody in the government. They have all of your records. They got all of the Social Security records with all the information in there and stole that. They've gotten most of the insurance company records in the United States. And other different things, banking, all kind of stuff that they're into. And then they're the ones with Google, allegedly. They're the ones that are perfecting the AI and all of the facial recognition that was started with a genuine interest of finding terrorists and picking them out. William Binney, who was the whistleblower for the NSA and is a good guy. He created a system that was then ramped up 10 million fold, and instead of identifying facially and all of the different stuff and tracking terrorists, it was used to then surveil almost everybody in the United States at will. Tucker Carlson, I know the NSA. I mean, I guarantee you know. I've lost so many computers and so many different things and have had all kind of stuff pop up, screens where the guy's typing on the screen, and it's my screen. But he thinks, you know, it's popped up, you know, on mine, and he's typing in. I can see do deep search on bop, 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 do dot, 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 dot. You see what I'm saying? And that's popped up on mine at the same time. I've gone up and clicked stuff on it and said, and clicked on another thing. And then that kind of, it pauses a minute, and they click on something, and I go back and click another deal. And then all of a sudden it disappears, okay? So the fact of the matter is, you got to let it go and let it be. You got to understand, they're on everybody's butt all the time. The cloud's got it. Everything's got it. If you want to get away from it, then the only best thing you can do is to get off of Facebook, get off of Twitter bird. You know, use your email sparingly, okay? You can use one of the more protected emails and do it, but they've got basically everything. They've got it at the big junction points of all the stuff on the web. And then the Chinese, I saw an article the other day. MSN allegedly, after Windows Vista, in that time period, put something in their code that automatically sends most a lot of stuff to the internet goes to Red China. I don't know the exact details of all of that, but it was some kind of a fashion. The code that has been recently discovered has allowed them to basically enter into everything into the web. So I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you better get prepared. You better do it in earnest. You better be willing and ready to fight. And you better have food, water purification, water supplies. And I'm telling you, they're messing with water. Brother Quayle heard about, I believe it was in Knoxville, there was something that was going to be shortages of water in Knoxville in terms of distributing the bottled waters coming up for this holiday. And then I'm hearing that there are certain areas that the water supply are talking, well, we can't get the chlorine to purify the water. So therefore, you might have to boil, you see. Or don't use your electricity because it's going to cause a brownout. Well, what does that tell you? You're going to need lamps and lamp oil, Matthew 25. You're going to need inverter electric inverters that you can power by solar, small solar panels. Go to Harbor Freight, look up there, about $189. Get there 100 watts of solar, and you can buy multiples, connect them all up, run them over to batteries, which they also sell. It's got a small charge controller comes with it, some 25-watt bulbs, and all the cords and stuff you need. They'll operate outdoors, you know, just fine. Run a small shack. But if you can get something where you can put the connection, the hex connector, put three or four of these deals together. So it's not a $20,000 bill like, oh, we've got to do everything. But what you do is you get something that will charge batteries in an inverter, the different other type of batteries that you can have standby. It'll charge the ones where you got the jump packs, you know, for jumping your car. Anything that will hold a charge, you can charge them up and then run stuff off of it. And then at a certain point in time, you got the cords. Then you can run for a certain number of hours a day. You put a insulation over your refrigerator, your freezers, and different stuff, and you run this one for 3-4 hours, and you go and run the other one for 3-4 hours. You go back and forth. And then you can also run some lights, some basic tools, or you can charge up lithium-ion batteries to run your chainsaw, to run your saws, to run your drills, to run, you know, different things. So I'm telling you, you better be ready and you better get going. And you better sharpen your K-bar and load your magazine. And if you're not still buying ammunition, now I would say it should be, hopefully, get whatever you can, but it should be a minimum of 1,000 rounds for each caliber you shoot. But that really ain't enough necessarily. But I tell you that because that's a worthy goal if you're starting out or kind of in the middle and you've got, you know, a few hundred rounds of this or a few hundred rounds of shotgun shells or this or that or the other, that you should at least strive for an initial goal maybe of 1,000 rounds each one. If you have that, you can sit there and trade shots with them quite a little bit, or better yet, charge on into them and just lay 10 or 12 in the front yard. leaving out there for the birds and the bugs and the coyotes to eat. And then you go back to eating your supper, if you know what I'm saying. All right? Because this stuff is not going to stop. It's going to be that if there were not stopped or ended prematurely, then there would not be any flesh left alive. Lord Jesus tells you that. What we're doing now is just the beginning of sorrows. It's starting to bite. The bulldog's starting to bite a bit, but it's not there yet. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you want to take care of Old Hawk if you can. Anything is most needed and welcome. Believe me, send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. May the Lord bless you 10,000-fold. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology to strike blows against the enemies of the Lord Jesus. And maybe, maybe you should keep the red shinies busy with a little Three Gorges Dam action. And I don't care if they're going to come for us, and it's war, and it already is war. They killed 600,000 Americans with bioweapons. Then, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to understand where you're at and get prepared for the long haul and long, slow slug. You see what I'm saying? Because if we don't, then it'll be over in about 15 minutes and they'll come and subjugate you. Mickey LaPointe.